Guess what day it is, Tom?
Arriba!
I'm gonna drink this and I'm gonna get dirty!
Ah, what do you need blood for? This is radio!
How many beers have you had today?
Not any of your business.
Back in my days of trying to get drunk in the janitorial closet.
I was Bear Grylls when I was 8. I'm a little drunk.
That's right, that's exactly what day it is. It's Cinco de Mayo.
I know.
So how about we have a bunch of awesome Mexican beers?
Totally. I went to Brouwer's, Bottle Works today, and I was like, guys, you know me. You know who I am. And they looked at me like, seriously, who the fuck are you? I kind of died a little inside. I was like, you recognized us before.
What's wrong?
A-holes, and I was like, I need you.
What's happened between us?
I need you to point me towards 3 of Mexico's best beers.
Did they laugh at you?
They asked me to leave the store.
All right.
Yeah. So instead, we're back to the original plan before we foolishly recognized the fact that today was Cinco de Mayo. And Ethan, when I initially was like, hey, Ethan, we're going to do Mexican beers. He was like, ew, gross. I don't want to do that.
I'm not complaining that we're not doing Mexican beers.
And you know, what it comes down to is most Mexican beers, they really only do lagers, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's all we ever see out here. Yeah. Maybe in Mexico, they have all kinds of other
awesome beers.
Awesome beers.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. So we went back to plan A as opposed to plan Mexico.
Oh
yeah! So we're back on Anderson Valley. We're doing our Anderson brewery Valley tours. This seems to be something we've been rutted in the brewery tours for a while. So
hey,
as opposed to actually going out to breweries,
we could find worse breweries than Anderson Valley.
But as opposed to actually going out to places, we stay in.
We'll get there
and
eventually.
Bring breweries to us.
The weather has sucked.
Yeah, that's the reason why we're not going out and doing this. It's not because by the time we're done with these podcasts, we're totally smashed and can't drive home. All
right.
So we've got 3 Anderson Valley's brews here. I've only had one of these before, but I was very impressed with it, and so now I'm interested to try other things. So we have the Anderson Valley Boont Amber Ale, which I just like saying Boont. It's like smock. Smock is a great word.
Smock is it? Yeah, smock is a good word.
See?
Spoon is a good word.
Spoon?
It's sort of spoon?
Yes. Then we'll also have the Barney Flats Oatmeal Stout, which I think is one of my favorite oatmeal stouts.
Yes.
It is delicious, and I think we've talked about its merits before.
Yes, I believe so.
And then finally, the Anderson Valley IPA.
Which, again, we haven't had, but...
Yeah. So I'm curious to try these other two, the Boont and the IPA. I think, do you want to start with the Boont?
I think
with the IPA.
I think we should start with the Boont. It's an amber. It'll probably be
excellent.
All right.
All right.
Let's start out with that amber. Break it out.
Bam! We're going to do this.
It's so good.
One for me. One for you. And of course, one for our homies.
Don't pour it on my carpet.
Such a crime. Oh my god. That's the worst pour I think I've
ever
done.
That is really bad pour.
Do you want to switch glasses?
No, that's fine.
I haven't had anything to drink out of this yet.
No, it's fine.
Alright.
It's fine.
That is a lot ahead.
The guys on the Brewing Network podcast say craft beer should be poured with vigor.
Alright, so.
There's a fair amount ahead on that, even with decent pours.
Yeah, well, mine now has a fair amount ahead as well.
That smells pretty awesome.
It does. It has sort of a similar, like, sweet malty smell that I recognize from their oatmeal stout.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a nice clear beer, amber colored.
Indeed.
It looks pretty. I'm gonna go in for a sip. The head is very sort of thick and hearty looking.
It is. It's a hearty. It's a hearty head. Yeah. It's not dissipating. All right.
Hmm.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's really smooth.
Just really smooth. It's got a nice round malt flavor to it.
Yeah, round is a good word. Like,
yeah.
It makes my mouth feel like I'm holding a giant marble.
It's got like sort of a light, like maybe a light molasses flavor. Not really strong, but really light molasses flavor in there.
I can see that. It's sort of maybe the combination of the background bitterness and the sweeter malt flavors.
Maybe, but it's really good. It's nice and lightly hopped, which is great for me. It's got just the right amount of bitterness to it. Though I think they could probably up the hop aroma a little, and I wouldn't complain. I'm liking this. This is very tasty.
It's good. They could. I think it's actually more similar, and this is from California, and of course the Northwest has their own way of doing things and marketing beers like this, but I would say this would be better marketed as a red in the Northwest.
You think so?
Just based on the color and the level of bitterness. And
I can see that.
I mean, it's malty, but it's definitely got a bitterness. It's not hoppy, I wouldn't say, but
yeah. Come, try this again and tell me if you taste a little bit of smokiness in here. Because I'm almost certain to think that maybe I'm picking that up now too, like a light smoke flavor. Am I crazy?
Maybe.
Am I drunk?
I'm not sure. There's definitely something there that I'm not quite getting. I think it's a hop that I'm just not familiar with, but I can't be sure.
Yeah, I'd say they balanced it with a hop bitterness, but it's definitely, I would say it's definitely pretty malty for the most part. I like it. I don't think I like it as much as the oatmeal stout, but that's because the oatmeal stout for me is sort of like my watershed, like top of the line oatmeal stout that I would go for. Like if I was going to be like, bitches, I'm in the mood for an oatmeal stout tonight, I'd go for that. In fact, even if I wasn't in the mood for an oatmeal stout, I'd go for the Barney Flats oatmeal stout.
Yeah, sort of.
Barney Flats, making fine handcrafted beers since... Quick, look at the bottle! Look at the bottle! 1800... No!
It's not Barney Flats, it's Anderson Valley Barney Flats.
Shut up! Barney Flats is ruining everything!
Is the stout.
Damn it!
God!
Oh!
Yeah, I'd say the only beer in recent memory that's come close to that, as far as bottled porters or stouts go... Mm-hmm. Well, we should probably keep it in the stout range. But as far as bottled or canned stouts go, is the 10-50.
10-50.
Like, it's a toss-up for me.
I like the 10-50. The 10-50, I think, is a little bit too robust. If I was going to be like, I'm going to have one beer tonight, I might go for the 10-50. But Barney Flats, I think, is a really good beer that I could have one of those and then have another one move on to something different entirely. It's binging, as it were.
Yeah, binging.
Doing permanent liver damage.
We wouldn't ever do that, though.
No, that just sounds dangerous.
No.
I had a talk with my doctor once. I went in and they were like, so, do you drink a lot? And I was like, well, you need to define a lot, lady. We need to work this out in numbers. And so she's like, well, do you ever have more than like 3 beers in one sitting? And I was like, do I ever have less than 3 beers in one sitting? I must have a real problem. Fuck.
Yeah, I hate having to check the box at my doctor's office that says, how many alcoholic drinks do you have per day? And it like goes 0, 1, 2, and then 3 or more. And I sort of have to waffle and be like,
Depends on the day, man.
Does 5 days a week count as daily? Yeah. Anyway, this beer is a sessionable amber.
This is really good.
It's well-rounded. It's well-crafted. I wouldn't say it's terribly interesting, but you know what? Not all ambers have to be.
Yeah, this isn't... I mean, I'm not like... It's not a flavor explosion in my mouth.
You know? No, but it's a well-crafted beer.
It's really good. I would definitely get this again.
Yeah, for sure.
Geek being recommended.
God, no.
What, we're not going to do that? We're not going to do the geek beer recommended after, you know, or geek beer disapproved.
What's that? Play him off, keyboard cat.
Oh, God, if you guys have not seen the keyboard cat, go to YouTube right now. Pause the podcast. Go to YouTube. Well, then you can't pause it yet because you need what I'm about to say. So here, listen to what I'm going to say, then pause the podcast and go. All right. Type in YouTube.com. Type in play him off keyboard cat. Now pause the podcast. Are you back? Oh my God, wasn't that awesome? I know! Fucking keyboard cat.
Oh, keyboard cat. Now you make the podcast better. All right. Shall we finish this up?
I'm done. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Shall we move on to the IPA or the oatmeal stout?
I kind of want to go for the oatmeal stout.
I was going to say, I think that might be better. I think it'll be a bigger beer, but it won't be as hoppy.
I think it'll give us a nice transition.
Yeah.
It'll be a transitional beer.
All right. Let's go with the oatmeal stout.
Oatmeal stout!
Break it open!
All right. For those of you listening at home, yes, I do keep my bottle open around my keychain.
No problem with that.
Drinking problems? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm a social drinker, really.
Social!
Let's give it a smell with our tasting hats on.
Ooh!
You didn't forget your tasting hat, did you?
My what hat?
Oh. Toasty.
Got sort of a caramely coffee smell to it.
Yeah, it's really toasty.
Toasty, like you said. And
yeah. All right. It's not, I wouldn't say if you put this in front of me, I would qualify it as beer immediately. Like if you just said, smell this, it's coming from a jar. I would be like, I don't know.
You've got a jar of caramel in front of
you. Yeah, or caramel or toast or both or something.
Toasted caramel.
But it doesn't really smell like, there's no hop aroma there at all.
No.
All right.
I'm tired of smelling this. I want to drink it.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Boom.
Oh, so good. It's so smooth.
It's smooth.
Just like the amber.
It's a little sweet. It doesn't have the same head retention that the amber did. The head on yours is already gone. Mine is dying away quickly.
Away, yeah.
But it's just got a smooth taste. It's got sort of a weird
It's got a great mouthfeel.
Yeah, like a weird little coffee finish at the end.
Yeah, coffee finish for sure.
Well, I don't mean weird in a bad way, but it's got a coffee. But it's not like strong. But
yep.
It's there,
subdued, and it's just a nice toasty flavor all the way through.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of that malty sweetness from the amber. No real hop flavor to speak of, and it's just like the amber, really smooth. I would say the carbonation and the mouthfeel both fit the beer very well, and give it a Guinness-like smoothness.
Yes. I think if I weren't to know this were a beer, you could almost probably tell me this is like some kind of like an iced caramel coffee that's been carbonated.
Or you could decarbonate it, put a bunch of ice cubes in it, and just call it an iced caramel coffee.
I'd probably believe you. But I like this a lot. This is one of my favorite stouts. Definitely my favorite oatmeal stout I've ever had.
Yeah, and it's definitely much more sessionable than the 1050, right? Which is sort of more along the imperial stout lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to say, if I was going to give this somebody a beer and say, this is what a malty bitterness tastes like, I would give them this. It's sort of like a coffee bitterness, right? Rather than a hop bitterness, which is sort of further in the back of your throat, sort of more citrusy, like lemony.
Yeah. I agree. I would go there. I would agree with you on that statement.
But I wouldn't say there's any hop character here that I can really perceive. I mean, I'm sure they add hops to sort of keep it balanced, but I would say the malty bitterness is more from the chocolate and black malts. Much more pronounced, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sort of probably where that toasty background comes from as well.
Yeah.
It's time for Geek Beer News!
Geek Beer News! All right, we got a whole list of... There's not actually a lot of beer news this week.
Really? Isn't that true every week? It didn't really start every week with, well, there's not a lot of beer news. And then you're like, beer is like wood! There's nothing going on with wood! Nothing going on with beer! We're making beer and wood for about the same amount of time. Dinosaurs made beer. We make beer. It hasn't changed.
Are you already drunk? What the fuck?
I'm just saying.
All right.
Moving on.
Number one. So we got a whole list of new and, I think, notable beers. Deschutes will soon be available in Utah and San Antonio, Texas.
Suck it, Utah. You can finally get good beer.
Woo, Utah. Avery's 16th anniversary ale is coming right up.
Oh.
Allagash.
What I'm excited about.
Yes. Allagash is releasing the Gargamel next week or something.
Gargamel.
We can't get it. But if you're in Maine, you should totally look it up.
Can't get the Gargamel?
It comes in 375 milliliter bottles for like $20. And you can only buy two bottles at a time and you might be in there.
No longer interested.
Pyramid is releasing a red ale this fall called Juggernaut. Firestone Walker will soon be expanding into Arizona and Washington.
Woot!
Firestone Walker makes a beer called a double barrel. I think it's just the double barrel ale, and they tried to clone it on Can You Brew It, and I really want to try it now. It's a sort of a medium gravity amber that they age in oak barrels.
Oh,
sounds fucking awesome.
Sweet.
Like it sounds like the beer itself is fairly simple, so the oak is really a character in the beer rather than some of the other oak aged beers we've had where they're
yeah.
The oak is sort of competing with other flavors. All right. Okay, so Geek Beer News number two. Oregon will probably soon pass the Honest Pint Act. The basic idea here is that if a vendor sells something called a pint, it should bloody well be a pint.
Word.
Yeah.
So England's been doing this for years.
Really?
Except they have their Imperial Pints, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've always had sort of like, this is where like Baker's Dozen started out, where they give you 13 loaves to make sure that they don't like undersell you. Or their pints are Imperial Pints where they're actually 4 ounces bigger just to make sure you're not getting undersold on your beer.
Yeah.
Leave room for the head and everything in there.
Well, in this case, they're not leaving room for the head.
Well, yes, but
apparently
they're required to serve in a 16-ounce glass.
Yeah, 16-ounce glass. Yeah, that's the key here, is that there are breweries using, 14 or even 12-ounce glasses.
Have you seen some of these glasses?
Yeah, dude, they've got, these giant bottoms.
Yeah, these giant thick bottoms, and, they're... Oh, that is such bogus...
It's such bullshit. Yeah.
There shouldn't need to be a law for that, you know?
No.
I thought consumer protection rights already extend to the point where it's like, you can't tell somebody that you're selling them a gallon of milk and then, you know, have it be three quarters of a gallon and be like, well, this is our gallon that we use. It's our marketing gallon.
It's our marketing gallon.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing, is that people companies have successfully argued, you know, in combination with their giant budgets, have successfully argued that... the word pint simply refers to a serving of beer, not necessarily an actual U.S. pint.
Yeah.
Which is like, just another argument for the U.S. to move to the metric system.
Yeah, where's the disconnect even happen there? What the fuck?
It doesn't make any sense. All right, so item number three, something near and dear to our hearts.
Oh.
Seattle Beer Week starts on the 7th.
Oh, yeah! What up?
Hit us up. We'll be out there, you know.
Word.
I'll be on the 7th. I'll be at Beverage. On the 8th, I'll be at Brower's. On the 12th, I'll be at Beverage again. On the 13th, I'll be at Brower's again for the Avery Experience.
Yeah, can you guess which one of those I'm definitely going to? Avery Experience. I want to walk up to Mr. Avery. I want to shake his hand, and I'm going to steal it, because I'm assuming that's where he keeps all his magical powers and creates beautiful beer!
And on the 14th, I'm going to the Sour Beer Festival again at Brower's. So most of my time will be spent at Brower's. I think all of Tom's time will be spent at Brower's.
Pretty much. That's the only place I'm guaranteed to be. If there's anyone out there listening who is interested in talking to the geek beer geeks, I can't imagine there is, but... You can recognize Ethan because he looks like he's 14. And I'm the guy wearing a Boba Fett hoodie, like, everywhere I go.
Yeah.
That's not true, but I'll probably wear it now just because I said I would.
I'll probably wear an Apple shirt, actually.
Ooh, an Apple shirt.
You gotta represent the geek
crowd. Ooh, maybe I'll wear my Boba Fett hoodie and my Con t-shirt.
Nice!
Mix it up a little bit.
Ooh, I got a Penny Arcade shirt. Maybe I should wear that.
Ooh.
Chin.
We'll be dressed all kind of quasi-geeky. Maybe. Yeah. Probably not.
All right. Open up that IPA.
Are we ready for the IPA? Are you sure we're ready for the IPA? The IPA is kind of like the IPA.
Hop lovers, your dream has come true.
Oh.
Hop Otten is bootling for hardworking hops. And surely hard at work in this brew.
You know you love it.
Hop Otten starts with a robust floral aroma, which winds into deep and complex body.
You know you like it deep.
In an intriguing balance, sun-drenched malts coat rich hop undertones.
That's not the only thing that's drenched.
At length, the hops prevail with a satisfying crisp finish.
You kind of fucked up there.
Hop Otten bites like a can kicky blue tail.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
Hop Otten bites like an angry rattlesnake.
That I do get. Sweet. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this. You're done.
All right, so we've got our IPA. The head is kind of dissolved on me here in a kind of almost horrifying way. It looks like soap.
It smells hop oils, baby.
Oh, yeah. This smells nice and hoppy, by the way.
It does smell good. I wouldn't say it smells as hoppy as some of the other IPAs we've had.
No, but I think this has a nice hop aroma to it. Nothing else really is coming off the top of this. I'm not getting any malt or anything.
Nope, just straight hop aroma. I would say this smells fairly similar to the Stone IPA, although the Stone seems to have a more complex aroma, but since
it's true.
I'm not familiar enough with the hops involved to know which hops are different or anything. So, should we dive in?
Let's go.
Oh,
it's kind of different. It almost hits you like right up front with a lot of hop bitterness, and then as you swallow it, actually becomes kind of sweet. It finishes really clean.
It does finish really clean. It finishes clean like the Stone does for sure.
Yeah.
The hop character is not as complex. I'm just going to compare it to the Stone, because that's not my go-to IPA now.
And also, it's pretty fresh, and I'd assume
ours
and our listeners' memories.
That's right, because our listeners just listened to the Stone IPA, or the Stone podcast.
That's right, where we didn't drink the Stone IPA a second time on accident.
No.
Not at all.
No.
We've only done like 14 of these things, and we're already fucking up.
That's because we're drinking.
Oh, yeah.
The hop character is not as strong, and I would disagree with you that it starts with a hoppy bitterness. I think it finishes with a hoppy bitterness.
I really felt like, I've only had one sip so far, but when I brought it into my mouth, Ethan, when I brought it in to my mouth hole.
All the way down
into my mouth hole.
Yeah.
It started off very bitter. It hit me right up in the front of my mouth with a lot of bitterness.
Right up in the front.
Of my mouth.
Right up in the front. It's Eminence front.
Of my mouth.
She's put on.
Anyway. And then by the time I swallowed it, actually sort of had resolved into sort of more of a sweet, malty flavor.
Hmm.
It was a light, sweet, malty flavor, but it was definitely there. So,
interesting. It's definitely lighter bodied than the Stone IPA. and the carbonation fits that. I would say the commonality between all three of these has been a lighter carbonation than I've come to expect from most commercial beers.
I think that is definitely true. This almost seems more like a homebrew carbonation.
Yeah, good call.
Without it actually being bottle conditioned, because none of these beers have been, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I've been checking, and I don't think I've seen any yeast at the bottom of any of these bottles. So
nope.
It's a light carbonation, and it's not the kind of like, there's some beers where you have them, the carbonation's light, and it's kind of disgusting.
Doesn't fit.
Yeah, but these all, I think, sort of have just the right amount of carbonation for the styles that they're going for.
Yeah, and for the body that they've, yeah.
Yeah, these have all been very good beers. I think I would put this IPA up there with the Stone in terms of IPAs that I would get again.
Yeah?
I'm not a strong IPA guy.
Sure.
But I think if I was like, I'm going to have an IPA tonight, I think I'd be a toss-up between the Stone and this for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I don't think I'd choose this over the Stone ever.
Really?
Yeah. I think the complexity, the hop complexity just isn't there. The malt backbone is good, but it doesn't balance the same way that the Stone does. Sierra Nevada Torpedo is cheap, readily available, and better than this, I think.
I can see that. Well, I guess, here's what I would say. This is at least one thing that I think I kind of like about this from a sort of a different standpoint of actually liking the beer, but just sort of what they did here.
Sure.
A lot of breweries, especially smaller breweries, when you drink anything that they make, you can sort of taste the, oh, this came from X, you know.
Oh, yeah, bottle, sure. Right? Even Avery is a little bit like that, right?
Avery, with their higher, you know, their higher ABV beers, like, there's a lot of sort of commonalities you can find.
That dark sugar flavor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think Dogfish Head is the worst offender there. Even their regular beers seem to be using some sort of dark molasses or dark sugar for their, to get the higher gravities. Even their, like, India Brown Pale, which isn't a high-gravity beer, seems to be using that same...
Yeah.
Seems to exhibit that same flavor.
Or something like Mac and Jack's, who I dearly love, but
yes,
for the life of me, they have like maybe three or four different brews, and I've had two of them other than their amber.
Mm-hmm.
They all taste the same.
Sure.
As far as I can tell. They all have sort of like a common sort of flavor profile to them. This, I would say, the Oatmeal Stout and the Boont, I could sort of taste, you know, there were some commonalities in terms of probably some of the grains they were using to get some of the sweetness.
Yep.
In this, I'm not tasting anything that says to me, this is definitely, you know, coming from the same brewery, which I actually kind of like. I mean, there's probably something to be said on some level for, you know, creating a profile of beers that all sort of have a common theme, at least in some level, where you can say, oh, yes, well, this is sort of the Anderson Valley flavor.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
But at the same time, I think a lot of that sort of, it ends up, I don't know, it almost comes off as a little uninspired maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, yeah, I think that's true. I think one of, I've been thinking while you're talking here, I think one of the biggest problems I have with this right now is the mouthfeel contributing, and the major contributing factor there, at least for this beer, is the carbonation level.
Yeah.
I think for a lighter beer like this, or a beer that's supposed to be just a little more refreshing than a typical, like, stout, for instance,
mm-hmm.
I want it to have a bigger carbonation. I want it to feel a little more poppy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And especially in an IPA, I think the higher carbonation level lends itself to a spicier mouthfeel.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see that here. But otherwise, it's a decent IPA. I don't think it's as well balanced as the Stone, but the Stone has hit upon a really fantastic recipe right there.
Yeah.
And this is definitely better than many IPAs I've had. I think IPAs are another style that I tend to have on tap. The beers I tend to have in bottles at home are not style specific.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of crazy beers. But so IPAs are another beer I tend to have on tap, but I think this is better than a lot of IPAs that I have on tap. It's certainly better than like the Deschutes IPA, and this is definitely better than the Bridgeport IPA, which is sort of a standby Northwestern IPA.
Oh yeah. I guess, you know, now that you mentioned it, I think I probably wouldn't complain if this was a little bit more heavily carbonated, but at the same time, I'm not necessarily missing it.
All right.
Yeah. I think this is a solid IPA. I think it was a nice way to finish the night. I don't think it was as necessarily impressive as the Boont Amber or obviously the Oatmeal, which I'm a huge fan of.
The Oatmeal is totally fantastic.
But I still feel
in a huge number of ways.
Yeah, I still feel this was a solid way to end our podcast, and I think it's a nice, well-balanced beer.
Absolutely.
I don't think you fully agree with me, but you can eat a bag of dicks.